welcome you with all my heart. If you came here to hear a profound lecture by another eloquent speaker, you came to the wrong place. If you came here to hear a fool speak a bunch of nonsense, you came to the right place. For after all, what can I say to you? What can I possibly tell you? You don't even exist. You're all an optical illusion. Nobody exists. So what should I say to people who do not exist? There's absolutely nothing to say. Yet most of you came here dressed in your finery, wanting to hear the speaker speak something intelligently, to speak something eloquent. But you're not going to hear that, so get used to it. I'll tell you this much. We've all been totally brainwashed since birth. Everything we believe is false. Everything. Everything we have faith in. Everything we've been told in school. In churches. Everywhere. It is all false. You are false. I am false. There is no reality. If there were a reality, you would not be able to express it. It would be beyond human conception. If there were a truth, we would not be able to understand it. For it would be beyond the finite mind. The finite mind cannot understand anything, cannot know anything. Yet there is no finite mind. So there's no one to know anything. When you look at me, what do you see? You see whatever you've been programmed to see. You do not see reality. You see your programming. For instance, if you were brought up a Christian, you may say, well, Robert is sort of Christ-like. If you were brought up an agnostic, you may say, well, I don't know what the heck Robert is at all. If you were brought up Jewish, you would say, Robert is a great rabbi. If you were brought up Buddhist, you would say Rabbi is a bodhisattva. If you were brought up in a family of thieves, you would say Rabbi is a con man. You're seeing yourself. You're seeing your programming. You're seeing the way you've been made to think all of these years since you were a little boy, a little girl. It's all false. In reality, Robert is neither this nor that, neither up nor down, neither backward nor frontward. And you are the same way. In other words, we're all nothing. But what is this nothing? Is it really nothing? No thing? We see the whole world before us, and the whole world is subject to the law of change. Everything changes constantly, constantly. What is real can never be changed. Therefore, what is real? Where's the reality? There is no reality. There's really nothing that changes. There's only that what is. What is something you can never understand. People call it by names like Brahman, absolute reality, consciousness, the self. Pure, effortless, choiceless awareness. These are all names. Most of you have heard these names again and again and again. You've read many books. You've been to many teachers. You've seen many lectures. And yet, where are you now? Have you come any closer to self-realization? Is there really anybody who has to become self-realized? Is there such a thing as self-realization? You don't really know. You're only speaking from books you've read, from sermons you've listened to, from lectures you've heard, from tapes, teachers. You've heard certain words, certain phraseologies, certain so-called truths. Yet what good does it do you? The only effort you'll ever make is when you keep silent. When you are silent, everything is done through you. The tree outside is totally silent. Yet it grows beautiful leaves all by itself. It doesn't have to talk to grow leaves. It doesn't have to become anything to grow leaves. It doesn't have to do a thing. Yet we all believe we have to do certain things to become self-realized. We believe we have to practice certain sadhanas, spiritual practices. We have to meditate year in and year out. We believe we've got to get rid of some things and add some things to ourselves. But the ultimate reality is you have nothing to get rid of, for you have never become anything. It is all your hallucination. It is all an optical illusion. How can you sit there and say you're an optical illusion? When you can feel yourself, you can see, you can hear, you can smell, you can touch. think about the time when you're dreaming. In the dream, you're doing the same thing, aren't you? You have certain experiences, you go through certain situations, you meet certain people, you travel to certain countries, yet you awaken in the morning, and all that's disappeared. The entire dream world is gone. This is the dream world you're in now. You are dreaming the mortal dream. That you are a man, you are a woman, you are a child, you have a job, you go through certain experiences, things happen to you in your life. Yet this is not true. This is a lie. In reality, you've never been born, you do not prevail, and you do not die. There's no one who ever dies, for there's no one who was ever born. How can you see yourself this way? By remaining silent. By not reading so much. By not remembering anything. By not trying to be profound. And thinking you have to remember this passage from this book. You have to remember what I said. You should never remember anything I say. You should not believe a word I say. Why should you? You should understand yourself that you are the one. You are the only one. There are no others. There's only that which has always been. And that is you. When you realize you don't have to practice sadhana or meditate, or go through spiritual practices with yoga, and life becomes easy and wonderful. There's no striving for anything. There's no trying to become somebody or something. You are yourself. You've always been yourself. The self which is bright and shining. The self which is. You are that self. Can you feel this? Can you feel that you're not your body or your mind or the world or words or books? Can you feel that you have no needs, no desires, no wants? Can you feel that you cannot be hurt in any way whatsoever? That you are perfect and pure, just the way you are? There's absolutely nothing you have to surrender. For you never had anything except the pure self that you are. Can you feel your emotions, the anger, the self-destructive emotions you've carried along for so many years? The animosities, the hatred? Can you realize this is not a part of you? That this never existed? Can you feel this? That right now that you are pure intelligence right this moment. Right now. You are the ultimate right now. Just the way you are. When I say just the way you are, I am not referring to your body, to where you appear to be. Just the way you are is absolute Brahman. Just the way you are is the self. Therefore, when I speak words like this, with what do you identify with? When I say you are perfect just the way you are, do you think of your name and your body and your mind and the person you appear to be? That's not who you are. That's not just the way you are. Just the way you are is God. What we call God. When I tell you to stay just the way you are, I'm referring to your true self, your real nature, your reality, Swarupa. Stay just the way you are. Never change. But when you start thinking, you spoil it. As soon as you start thinking about it, you spoil it. Yet you can stop the mind from thinking if you want to. You may practice self-inquiry. You may ask yourself, who am I? Who am I who thinks? Who am I who appears to exist? Who am I who appears to have problems? Who sees the world as a threat? And the answer is right in the question. When you're asking, who am I? The I is not you. The I you're inquiring about is not you at all. It is really your ego. So when you practice self-inquiry, you begin to understand, basically, that you are not the I. The I that's always in need. The I that feels frustrated. The I which believes something is wrong someplace. Who am I means, where does I come from? Where does false I originate from? Who created it? Who gave it birth? Who am I? When you ask the question, who am I? You're never referring to the higher consciousness, the absolute reality, to pure awareness. This and that I. The question is meant for your ego. To try to see, to understand that the I thought is the only enemy you've got. The I thought has always been the culprit. It's caused you eons of misery, karmic affliction, reincarnation, samskaras. All of these things are attached to the I, not to you, but to the I. Not to you, but the I. Can't you begin to see that you are totally free? It is the I that has the problems. By seeking the source of the I, all of your problems, all of the world, your body, everything will disappear. It will dissolve into the source. What is the source? I'm not speaking about applesauce. The source is yourself. You are the source. And you are Nirvana. The I has absolutely nothing to do with you. Think about this. Those of you who wish to practice Atmavichara, start doing this in the morning when you first wake up. Inquire, who am I? And keep still. Never answer that question. As thoughts come into your mind, you begin to think, inquire, when do these thoughts come? To whom do these thoughts come? Who's thinking these thoughts? To whom do they come? When it comes to me, of course, I think these thoughts. I. Who am I? You continue the process. You remain still again. As more thoughts come into your mind, you inquire, to whom do they come? They come to me. I think these thoughts, and who am I? As you continue to practice this method, you will notice that the space in between who am I becomes larger and larger, more extensive. There's a vast gap between who am I. Whenever you say it, that gap is your reality. The day will come when you say, who am I? You will keep silence for hours. The mind will no longer move. The thoughts will no longer come. The feelings will become transcended. And you will be totally free and liberated. Yet, some of you do not have to do this at all. Some of you may just awaken. By being at satsang. By hearing me talk about nothing. It's up to you. That's right, it's up to you. I realize some of you are saying, Robert, if I could only awaken, I would do it. How could it be up to me? I want it. I want to become free and liberated. But do you? What's the most important thing in your life right now? And you'll see why you're not liberated. Is there something you're attached to that you'll not let go of? This is what keeps you in bondage. The word liberation simply means to be not attached to person, place, or thing. When you're not attached to person, place, or thing, nothing binds you and you are totally free. Not only do you have to leave your family, you have to leave your job or go away on a mountaintop. I'm speaking of mentally. It all happens in your mind. And then the end, the last analysis, the mind has to go also. And then you're free. So those of you who are saying, why aren't I not free now? Why am I still bound? I say to you, when did you become angry last? When did you become annoyed last? When did something irritate you last? When did you become upset last? When were you worried about your body, about your circumstances last? When did you concern yourself about the world last? V these are the things that hold you in bondage. This is why we talk about bondage. For you are in bondage when you believe the world can do something to you, can turn you on this way and turn you off this way. When you take the world seriously, you are in bondage. Yet you're saying to me, Robert, how can I not worry about this world? I cannot be inhuman. Look at the desperate things going on in this world. Look at man's humanity to man. The wars we have going on. My answer to you is, to whom does this come? If you want to change the world, you've got to become enlightened. You've got to awaken. For when you awaken, you will see the world in a new perspective. You will see the world as yourself. Now this becomes paradoxical. You will be able to look at this world and you will see yourself. Just as right this moment you are seeing the world as yourself. If you're seeing hard times, if you're seeing trouble, affliction, this is because you're seeing yourself, you're seeing what you feel. But a realized person does not see this. A realized person observes this, but sees the reality, perfection. Just as a screen is covered with images in the movie theater, when you watch the movie, you identify totally and completely with the movie, with the images that are going on the screen. You never think of the screen at all, do you? You think of the images. There's a beginning, a middle, and an end. When the picture is finished, there's the screen. The screen has always been there. The images have changed. In the same instance, all of the conditions of life are superimposed on consciousness, which is yourself. In other words, all of this is going on within you. All of the world's trials and tribulations are going on within yourself. You are the creator. It's all happening within you. You are the one who gives it power by sending it forth from yourself. Where else would it come from? Again, we go back to the dream analysis. Who would ever believe that a dream comes out of yourself? A person who's never dreamt would laugh in your face. They would say, how can a different world that appears to be like the same world exist? How can I have other experiences besides the experience I have now? How can the entire world become real to me? But it does. As you know, you've all dreamt. You're just not paying attention to this. When the dream is over, you awake and you forget about your dream. The world is the same way. The world is a cosmic dream. and it's up to you to awaken from this world dream. The idea is to keep the mind quiet and still, and let's follow the eyesore out into this world where it causes havoc and pain, but to keep the eyesore centered in your heart where it belongs, in your spiritual heart, where it can never come out again. There's an exercise we do to make this happen. It is called the I Am Meditation. Very powerful exercise. If you have to meditate, if you want to meditate, this is the most powerful meditation there is. You will find many changes taking place in your life as you practice this meditation. So let's do it all together, shall we? Make yourself comfortable. Close your eyes to remove obstructions. And focus your attention on your breath. Listen to your breathing, to your respiration. Do not try to alter your breath, just listen to it. Observe it, watch it. If your mind wanders, gently bring it back again to watching your breath. Feel the sensation in your body. You have become the witness to your respiration. You are witnessing yourself breathing. This alone makes you very quiet and still and peaceful. Now ask yourself the question, who is the witness that is watching the breath? Who is this witness? Say to yourself, I am. I am. With your respiration, as you inhale, say I. As you exhale, say am. Inhale, say I. Exhale, say am. As you're doing this, realize that as you inhale, you're inhaling the entire universe. As you exhale, the universe becomes alive again. Through you. You inhale the universe. Everything, all of life, is sucked into your consciousness. You say, am. You exhale the universe again. I am. It is now time to play Stump the Guru. I forgot to give you the basket of questions. Tom's got any questions in the basket. Well, feel free to ask anything or say something you like.
Sir, how does such tenderness come through an optical illusion?
Tenderness is part of your seeing. It's how you observe. It's what you see. It's your life, your projection. You feel and see tenderness. Because you're tender inside. You're not well done yet, you're still tender. When you become well done, you'll be free of all these things. But we always observe ourselves. When we see ourselves as the world. Always think of yourself as a mirror. The mirror can never see itself. One sees its projection in the world. Therefore, whatever you see is yourself. What else can you see but yourself?
So, conflict that you have with people is just your ego stuff?
Exactly.
That's yourself. Your ego that you're seeing.
You're projecting the whole game. You are creating the whole thing.
And to get rid of the conflict then, you just get distance from it?
You have to join in. No, you join in.
Not resist it. So.
You don't run away. You don't try to change things.
Right.
Because wherever you go, you've got to take yourself with you.
So what do you...
You join in. You ask, to whom does this come? Who's experiencing this? I am. Who am I? And you'll notice as you keep inquiring, who am I? The eye is leaving your brain and going into the heart center, where it belongs. Once the eye is out of the brain and into the heart, everything becomes peaceful and quiet. There's no more conflict.
It loses all its meaning. You don't need it.
Exactly. It is your eye that has the conflict. Once the eye is gone, with whom should you have conflict? The eye is the ego. Same thing.
So it doesn't matter what you do. I mean, you know, get rid of...
It matters what you do due to the fact as long as you're still believing that you are the body, You mind the laws of cause and effect and the laws of karma.
While you're in the body.
Yes, while you feel you are the body.
Oh, while you feel you are the body.
Yes. So you have to be careful what you do, because it'll all come back to you. What goes around comes around. Because you believe you're human. Mm-hmm. You're a body. But when you realize that you're inhuman, then you'll be totally free. Who wants to be human?
Sir, it's so wonderful of you to use your freedom, yourself, to be here before us and to illumine the situation this way.
Well, I didn't ask for it voluntarily. It just happened.
It is wonderful the way it just happened.
I don't know whether it's wonderful or not. It just says, here we are. Perhaps next time around you'll be sitting here and I'll be sitting there. Who knows? Who cares? All I can tell you is all is well. Everything is beautiful. Everything is God. And you are that.
Excuse me, sir. Can I ask a question?
Of course.
As you were saying before, that since everything's an illusion, and you seem to say there's no benefit in practicing the sun, is there any benefit at all in prayer and meditation?
Again, as long as you feel you are a body, then these things are necessary for you. When you have a glimpse of you not being a body at all, then who needs to do these things? When you feel you're separate, then prayer is necessary. Visiting holy places is necessary. Doing sadhana is necessary. Or you feel you're somebody who has to do these things. But when the somebody disappears and no longer exists, who will do these things? When the I is gone, when the I is transcended and transmuted, there's no one left to do anything. Then you're totally and completely free. But as long as you feel you are a body, you will have to do things. For the body, to appease the body. Get rid of the notion you are a body.
So what do you do when you're totally free?
You do nothing. There's nothing that you have to do. Yet, again, it's a paradox. It will appear to others as if you're doing something. But this is their outlook, this is what they see. But you know darn well that you're not doing anything. Where there's no one left to do anything. The body may appear to be doing things, yet you're doing nothing.
Who is the you referred to? You say you know darn well you're doing nothing.
I'm referring to your humanhood, because I'm talking to you.
No, but from your point of view,
from my point of view, that I'm not doing anything. I'm not saying anything. Nothing's happening.
There's no you there. There's no you doing anything.
Nothing's going on. There's no
so
you.
That simplified it enormously.
There's no one doing anything. But as we're having a dialogue, it appears as if we're doing something. Yeah, I can assure you, nobody's doing anything.
Hmm.
Okay, so this is about everything is empty and meaningless, and that's okay.
Don't say it like that.
Why not? It doesn't matter, does it?
It does matter.
Why does it matter?
It matters because you're just saying that with your voice.
No, I'm not done, though.
But you don't feel totally empty and totally free.
That's right.
So therefore, you've got to pay attention to the rules and regulations of the world.
What?
The world, the rules and regulations.
Right.
And do whatever is right. And you have to feed the poor, feed the homeless, help the needy, develop loving kindness, compassion, and all the rest of that stuff.
Because we're being human.
Of course.
And you can't really transcend humanness when you're human. You're still human.
Yes. But when the body is no longer yours, and you realize you're not a doer, then you have become all-pervasive.
What?
You become all-pervasive.
When you're not stuck in the limits of a body.
When you're not in the body.
Well, when
you become omnipresent, then you're everything. You're the whole universe.
That's great. And meanwhile, when you're in the body, you know, when meanwhile, here we are, and we have the limits of this stuff here, you know?
Then you gotta do the best you can.
And there's no right way or wrong way to do that. I mean, you just don't worry about it. Go ahead and decide and do something, right?
You don't worry about it, it's right, but you practice what you have to practice and do what you have to do to eliminate the idea of a body.
Okay, and meanwhile, while life's going on and there's these rules and regulations that everyone's playing by, and there are. I mean, is it okay if we talk like not enlightened here and just talk like a person?
Sure.
You know what I mean? Okay, so.
Let's be a person.
Let's just be a human, a regular old human, not someone who's enlightened or trying to look enlightened.
Okay.
I'd rather not. So, you know, like, then I can't get it, and I just go, oh, yeah. But there's still stuff you do
yes.
while you're being human.
Yes.
You parent your children. You do the stuff you do to pay the bills. Get along with the people in your family or the people that you're married to or lovers with or all of that. So it's all...
You will find that as you practice these things, you practice self-inquiry, you practice being a witness, you will find that you become more mellow and things improve in your life. Because if you get rid of all this stuff, it all pours out and it all goes away.
Okay, by always taking a moment to see that it's you, that it's the mirror stuff.
As you practice this discipline, spiritual discipline, then you become mellow, you become kind, peaceful, and all the stuff that's been bothering you goes away, some of the joy.
What spiritual practice? The I am stuff?
Yeah.
And being in that inquiry, who am I? And in the silence that
yes.
in the no answer.
Yes. Always being a witness.
So meanwhile you could just go ahead and have a great time being alive instead of making a mess.
Again, if you stop saying, I'm making a mess or I'm doing something, your body will know what to do by itself.
Wait, wait.
It will appear to do things that make it beneficial for you.
But could you do that part again, please?
You will appear to be, as you're working on yourself, you will appear to be doing the things that you have to do without even thinking about it. In other words, your body karmically came here for a purpose. And your purpose will be fulfilled whether you like it or not. You have absolutely nothing to do with it. So your job is not to react to the purpose of what was happening to your life. Just go within, dive deep within yourself, find out who you really are, discover your true self, and let your body do what it will.
Let your body do what it will. The human does
it. It knows what to do by itself.
When you aren't thinking you're in charge and deciding, you
mean? Yes.
When you just keep getting to empty and meaningless and keep being a human at the same time.
Yes, there's a power that takes care of everything. The power that knows the way.
See, if you just get out of the way, you don't have to make a big deal about it.
Exactly. Just keep calm, peaceful, relaxed. And you'll see what happens. You'll be surprised. But when you get excited, you worry, you fret, you're attracting negative conditions to you. And according to the situation, you come out of it worse. Just keep calm, peaceful, relaxed. Trust the power that knows the way. And you'll find peace. Everything will take care of itself. See, we're so egotistical. We believe we have to make it happen. We believe if I don't do it, nothing will happen. I've got to go out and get a job, I've got to work, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. But in truth, there's a power that knows exactly what you have to do, where you have to be, and whom you should be with. You have nothing to do with this. Your job is to get yourself out of the way and allow it to happen. Then you have total happiness and peace.
I want to talk about the notions of hierarchy and the plan and discipleship and practice for discipleship. Not to contradict anything you're saying, but in addition to what you're talking about, I mean,
you can contradict everything you're saying.
Well, I don't want to. but I wonder why, or what you would say about all of that. Because when you said there's nothing to do, and I understand that the frame in which you would say there's nothing to do, but then in another frame we could talk about discipleship. Does that match what you're talking about? Or?
What do you mean by discipleship?
Well, this whole notion that there is such a thing and that there are people here who are to bring, if you will, heaven down to earth instead of in this previous eon when we've been looking outside, and we're now to bring it in. And there are people who are to do this as models and as teachers or leaders or to lead the way for everyone to transform. And I'm not making that up. I mean, that's out in the sort of thing.
If you feel that way about it, do it.
Yeah.
And that's the way you feel about it. Do it. But try to see and realize in reality you're not a doer.
Even in that training for discipleship, that is the same thing as the I am and the emptying. I mean, that's what you do. But with this notion in mind that you're here for service.
But then ultimately, you are the one.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you serving except yourself? Mm-hmm. There's one self. And you serve yourself. Always realize you are the one. Do not be mad at yourself, or angry at yourself, or upset with yourself. Trust the power that knows the way.
I've actually been doing some wonderful work lately with something that I picked up from a process called focusing. And what I really like about it is that it sets up a relationship between the big self, the eternal self, and these ephemeral negativities that come by, in which fundamental practice or understanding is that the big self is to have compassion and acceptance toward all the rest. That seems to be a key to actually getting where it is you're talking about going.
It sounds a little complicated. The whole idea is to make it very simple.
This is actually very simple. The minute a negative feeling comes, you just accept and just because you've chosen to do so, have compassion for it, the way you would do with another being if you were their therapist. You just do it with yourself. I mean, you don't need to do anything beyond that. Just that's a fundamental stance to be in an accepting and compassionate attitude towards yourself. It seems to be very freeing, in my experience.
And again, you do not wish to sublimate your feelings.
No. You can still actually be pretty angry or upset or whatever at the same time as you're accepting and compassionate. And you get very high. The self that's being accepting and compassionate gets pretty high on that.
That's good.
It really is good. It's one of the most useful things I have ever learned.
Keep on.
So would you say that compassion has any fundamental function in your view of things?
Only when you believe you're a body.
So the Dalai Lama, do you think he forces himself to believe that he's a body just enough to have compassion for the world?
Dalai Lama does whatever he's supposed to be doing. He's in the right place doing the right thing. You're not going to see yourself as a Dalai Lama. See yourself as where you are, and where you're going. The Dalai Lama is in the right place doing the right things.
I think we're here in the right place doing the right things, too.
Yes, we are. We all are. But when we start thinking of others, when we start comparing ourselves to other people, thinking about a Dalai Lama, and you have compassion, is forcing yourself. These things are no importance to us. The only thing of importance to us, what I'm trying to say, is who am I? And you'll realize that you are the Dalai Lama.
So I must have unbearable compassion for all beings.
You do. You certainly do. I'm trying to say the Dalai Lama is not separate from you or me or anybody else. There's one entity, and there's no separateness.
So when we're thinking about you, which we do often, all of us, I'm sure, we're really thinking, by thinking about you, we're really thinking about ourselves.
Exactly. As I explained yesterday, what you do to others, you're doing to yourself. Whatever you do to another human being, good or bad, you're only doing it to yourself. Well, there's one energy. And we're all endless and athletes of one energy. If we can keep this in mind, we think twice before hurting somebody else. Because there's one self, what goes around comes around.
I'm so happy to meet myself.
So am I.
Did you say something else that I remember now? I might have missed it because I was late. I'm sorry. About not sublimating feelings? Did you just say about that?
I said when you have hatred or pain or anguish or depression, and I say to yourself, well, I can't keep these feelings. I'm not supposed to have them. I have to keep happy, happy, happy. One side to bring up. If you do this, you'll blow up one day and you'll hurt a lot of people.
Yes.
What you have to do is realize what's going on. See yourself where you're at, what's happening with you. And you have to inquire to whom these feelings come. Who has these feelings? I do.
The ego I.
Yes, who am I?
And then again, not make such a big deal about it since it's just that ego.
Yes. And if you keep inquiring, who am I? One day you'll come to the realization that I am not you at all. You are not the I.
It doesn't matter. But, I mean, I'm not saying this like, in a, it doesn't matter where like everyone go, you know, cut each other up and rip each other off. I don't mean like that. But it doesn't matter who you love then or anything, does it? You know? I mean, just love anybody because. So same thing anyway, so...
No, it's not up to you. It's all been preordained.
Okay, so when the conflict stuff is coming out of the I?
The conflict stuff is the I.
Alright, right. When the I is doing its conflict thing, or is the conflict, alright, the conflict that is I, is there, and present. In, again, not in light, in a relationship with the human being. You just, again, it's the who am I back to that, get the I out of the way, and then it doesn't matter. You can go ahead and not have the conflict with that person, supposedly, right?
As long as you think you're a human being, you always have conflicts and non-conflicts.
For a while, we are human beings.
Therefore, when you're a human being, you believe you're a human being, take it easy, relax. Just go within yourself and inquire who am I, and realize the I has the problems that you...
Okay.
And inquire where did the eye come from.
It's like,
just leave it alone and let it happen. Everything will take care of itself.
Quiet down the eye and then just let it take care of itself instead of trying to do something about it.
Yes. You don't really quiet down the eye, you inquire in the nature of the eye.
Oh, and then like, okay, and that's where it starts to...
That's where things begin to happen. But in the meanwhile, just understand, everything is predetermined. before you came into your so-called body, it was a way to decide what's going to happen to you. Where your friends are going to be, where your people are going to be, the experiences you're going to have, everything's going to decide. The only way to stop that is to inquire, to whom does it come?
Inquiring to what?
To whom does this come?
Uh-huh.
And realize that you're free from this completely. Then everything will be transcendent.
How do people ever leave each other? Why are there all these things like divorces and all this stuff? Is that just all the little ego things bashing each other?
This is part of the cosmic joke of living this. It appears to be going on this way. We appear to be fighting with each other, leaving each other, divorcing each other, loving each other. It's all part of the dream. Do not react to it. See it from a different standpoint. Observe it, watch it. But do not react to it. Inquire, to whom does this come? Who's having these experiences? Where do they come from? And you go right back to I. I have these experiences. I'm going through this. Then who am I? And keep still.
And just wait to see what happens.
And as soon as more thoughts come to you, inquire to whom these thoughts come. Keep doing it again and again and again and again. And you'll notice that you keep slowing down. Everything slows down. Everything becomes easier and easier, and it all slows down. And for one day, it'll just be empty space. And it'll become good for nothing.
Yeah, when you have acceptance and compassion towards yourself, they do tell you all. They make you very smart if you just let them be.
If you just observe your thoughts.
Yeah.
Yes.
Acceptance and compassion is the real key.
You can say that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Robert,
yes.
I've been doing lots of self-inquiry, and there are beliefs that when faced, they dissolve away as if imaginary, and they're just thoughts. Why the potency of the beliefs, and why is it possible there's a key belief or something that is believing in the potency of the beliefs that keep them there? They're all imaginary anyways. Why does pain and all that kind of stuff even still stay there? It's just like really, really real. It seems
of
really,
course.
Really, really real until it fades.
When you're having a dream, doesn't that seem real? It seems very real, doesn't it? Yet when you awaken.
It's wake up outable.
So is this.
But it's just like that, wake up audible. One doesn't have to...
That's how it seems, but it's not true. If you're having a dream that you're a baby, and you grow up, and you go to school, and you get married, and you have children, and you get old, and you die, you go through a whole lifetime in the dream. And you wake up. So one day you'll awaken from this, and in an instant it'll be the same thing. Everything that you've gone through has been like one day. And it appears long to you because you're dreaming. When the dream is gone, it never happened. There's no time or space involved. Time and space is only in the dream. When you were waking from the dream, you didn't get any older. You didn't die. You never had children that took your place and grew up and got old also. It's all a dream. So it is now, the same thing. One day you'll awaken and you'll laugh.
self flat.
There's nothing that anything likes. It laughs and cries. There's all kinds of things. Become yourself and find out.